mice die in mouse traps. The free cheese gets them every time. Socialism is not awesome. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
So you've called for regime change in Iraq, Libya, Iran, and Syria. In the first two countries, we've had regime change, and obviously it's been, I'd say, a disaster. I think we agree.
No, okay. I don't agree with that. And let me.
You don't think it's been a disaster?
No, I think you need to understand.
Yeah.
Is that life is complicated in the Middle East, and when you say, "Well, the overthrow of Saddam Hussein was a mistake," is simplistic.
I would argue that I'm the one who understands how complicated it is, but just my view.
It's your long experience in foreign policy. No.
Better record than yours, I would say.
Oh, such a great exchange. He called him, that was Tucker Carlson and Bolton. And he called Bolton a bureaucratic tapeworm. It was awesome. Oh, welcome. Kate Daly Show here. And I've got Uncle Milty with me, so it makes it even more fun. And, of course, I've got you. And I love that you are invested into keeping up with what's going on and want to know the truth. And it's probably, I hope, why you're listening today. And we have a lot to talk about, obviously. Go to katedalyradio.com, katedalyradio.com, and you'll see actually a list of sponsors, too. Balance of Nature's on there. And they actually, if you put in the code KATE, they'll give you 30% off right now. This is fruit and veggie capsules. And then also they have a terrific fiber drink, a cleanse. I mean, really great food. This is whole foods. And this is a very, very clean product. And I started taking it and I'm loving it and wanted to pass that on to you so that you can get it at a discount right now, a huge discount, a third off, which is awesome. So 30% off, just put in Kate when you order and you'll start to feel great. You'll actually feel a lot more energy and you'll feel a lot healthier. So Balance of Nature, I've just been so impressed. I had friends that have taken this product for years and years and years. One even had cancer. And she's doing so great and feels so great, has so much energy, working full-time again and having survived a very deadly cancer, actually, that I had to look into it and I had to see what they were doing. And it is really a clean product and just awesome. It is what it is. So fruits and vegetables, and you'll feel a huge difference really, really quickly. I really love this. I mean, I am loving it. So just go to Balance of Nature right on my site, right on katedalyradio.com. Use the code KATE. Click in. It'll get you right to the link and try it out. Just try it out while they're doing 30% off. I think it's amazing. The Bolton thing. There's so many things on my mind. I want to talk about Iran, and I also want to talk about the fact that Google removed the video that we were playing yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, with Dr. Duke, the Project Veritas video, where it was all ousted. And I have a lot of it on recordings, by the mm-hmm. way, that I could even play. Where the gal in charge of responsible technology and information, she was saying, yeah, that they're going to prevent somebody like Trump from being in office again. They're going to do everything they can, pretty much weaponizing Google. That's really what they're doing at the bottom line. And it's really sickening. And the fact that they admitted it, I'm glad they finally admitted it. But it's taken down, of course. They don't want anyone seeing that. That's an embarrassment. It should be, as people were passing that left and right and very curious to know what Google was up to behind the scenes. So let's talk a little bit about Iran. In the headlines right now, it is the path to nukes, right? The path to nukes. And what's frustrating about this is, I think, and I loved Tucker Carlson basically saying, you know, you called for regime change. This is in your blood. This is what you're about, Bolton. This is who you are. Even Trump calling him hawkish.
Mm-hmm.
If he could go to war right now, he would.
Yep.
So, que bono, who benefits? Why does he want to go to war so bad? Why is he so invested in control over the Middle East? Why is he Trump's pick still? I heard he's on his way out. Did you hear that?
I haven't heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a rumor at first, and then I heard the president say that there's nothing to that. But this was a week and a half ago.
Right. All right. Hi, caller. I know I'm trying to get there. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. You know, I've thought about all the countries that have nukes, right? Right? Russia. Let's see. Who else?
Well, China has nukes.
Yep,
Russia has nukes. England has
the
nukes.
The UK. Pakistan.
France has nukes.
India.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a lot of countries. We do. We have a lot of countries that have nukes. And I thought this was kind of an interesting way to look at it. Everybody seems to be, and I think the war drum out there has been beating as far as this message, right? Don't let anyone get close to a nuke. Don't let anyone get close to a nuke. And I've thought about that because, really, here it is. Is actually the long game a little bit more about, I don't know, I'm just going to throw this out there, but allowing nukes, trying not to stand in the way of that, because doesn't that promote peace? I mean, look at it this way. If you have a nuke and I have a nuke, we're far less likely to nuke it out, right?
Yep.
If you don't have a nuke, I'm far more likely to go to war with you because I know I can outpower you. If you can match me in power, just like in this country, I would like to be matched up to what my government can do. That would be nice, right? Because I know that they can outpower me. That's the unfortunate thing. They're outnumbered, but I know they can outpower me. So when you are in a game of a standoff, wouldn't that actually create more peace? Have we ever nuked Russia? Has Russia ever nuked us? Have we ever nuked China? Has China ever nuked us? And I know you're going to say, well, we're friends. Yeah, we're in bed. Yeah, we're more than friends. We have a very friendly relationship with China. But look at all these countries. I mean, have you seen a nuke war go down? It's kind of interesting.
Well, that was the whole basis for the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to prevent nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to prevent nuclear war. I heard that
all my life. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In the end, the Soviet Union collapsed and there was no nuclear war.
Funny how that panned out.
Yeah. I think most governments have learned that nuclear war is a no-win situation.
Yeah. And so I just wonder why that fear is kind of shoved down our throats every 5 seconds. Because if you really ask people out there, don't let them get a nuke, don't let them get a nuke. I think that we were sort of, I don't know, I think they've had, well, obviously there's been evidence of pointing to a facility in Syria that actually was putting together those materials. We've had sales of uranium. We've had all kinds of things under Obama. And then we had a very loose agreement with them, right? Here's some cash. And you just abide by the sanctions, wink, wink. And so it's been kind of interesting to watch the relationship, you know, go forward. Then you look at who benefits, like Glencore Commodities. They are the biggest miner of rare earth minerals and coal, all kinds of things. And so they are the biggest, right? Billions and billions and billions of dollars. And Glencore. And so you look at who benefits and who would benefit from this. A war in Iran, the takeover of Iran. But I just kind of feel like we never look at the other angle of this or the other side of this. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Regarding nuclear war, mm-hmm. the fear of it, it still works. But after seeing, just observing all my life, they either knowingly or unknowingly kind of oversold it, I think, somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Because, animals are still living in around Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're mm-hmm. some of them are deformed, this kind of stuff. But watching this, what is it, 8 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, over 8 years since, those three reactors have been spewing that crap mm-hmm. into the ocean.
Right.
And we've been reading here and there, but they've been shutting it down. Any stories about, Fukushima?
Mm-hmm.
We're still here, and my Geiger counter isn't showing any mm-hmm. increase. And
mm-hmm.
It isn't as bad as we were led to believe in terms of being instant death, it appears.
Right.
You know?
Right. but it is kind
of. I'm not saying I want a nuclear war, but I mean, they're going to get away with this because they can milk it for a lot. I mean, it's frightening stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just get the impression it's not as bad as we think because the food supply should be gone by now. The whole Pacific is supposedly just filled with radiation, but life is adapting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. There's just, I think sometimes it's hard to, I don't know, kind of turn this around from another angle and look at it a different way. And you might totally disagree. 888-673-1450. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, I think there is another angle in that, you know, for a country like Iran to have one nuke, while that certainly isn't going to be a problem worldwide, it could be a problem for one little place.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's a fear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we heard all this. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when Pakistan was developing their nuclear weapons, the big fear was it would be a nuclear war between India and Pakistan.
Right.
If they develop one.
Have they had
one? Well, no. They developed nukes, and here they have them. And now, and it was all in response to when they lost Bangladesh. And they didn't want to lose a war like that again and lose any more of Pakistan. So they figured the only way they'd be safe was to develop their own nuclear weapons.
Right.
But the whole world was against them doing it. So that seems to have been a common theme for a long time.
Yeah, I just throwing that out there. There's some chatter on the ground a little bit that you know, there might be an interesting plan in place, and you know, liberals are furious, right, about Trump and the Iran deal, and boy, Obama had it going so good for us. That's not necessarily true. There were a lot of things about the stipulations on that were very secretive. It didn't go through Congress. It wasn't even signed for how long. I mean, it was a you're just going to agree to this, and here's some cash, and we'll just call it reparations from a deal, you know, from 1979. And I get the reasons why, but I looking back, you know. It's just been an interesting relationship because I was poring over 2009, 2012, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17. And every year it was, they're going to get a nuke. And the deal is that think about if they did, would that actually create the standoff that would result in some peace instead of a regime change? I don't know. You tell me. I just thought the argument, the debate on that was kind of an interesting one. So we'll be right back. You can chime in, 888-673-1450, 673-1450, 888, right when we come back. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Go to katedalyradio.com, and you can get the podcast. Also, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook. Please join the page. We'll start a conversation there. And on Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show as well. I'm on Instagram, but I'm just not a fan, but I'm there. I don't really love social media, to tell you the truth, but, you know, anyway, so here we are. I have Uncle Milty, and yes, you might have issue with what I was just saying about Iran, because it seems to me that for over a decade, at the very least, you know, we were right on the verge of, Iran's going to get nukes. We're going to have a nuclear war. And a lot of people do not trust Iran. I understand why you don't. I understand. I get it. I'm not saying that Iran's a benevolent country. I'm not saying that Iran, you know, Iran is a place I would even want to visit or live. All I'm saying is where's the fear coming from? And really, what does this have to do with, really? Because if we did match each other, like many other countries, in nuclear power, it doesn't seem as though it really, it seems as though it creates sort of a you know, a deterrent, really, for going into a country. And is this why we want to go in so badly to do a regime change? They're in a very desired geographic location, Iran is. So I'm trying to look at it not from a neocon standpoint, not from a liberal standpoint, which I'm not, but a constitution conservative standpoint, which says that maybe we ought to think a little bit more isolationist. And I hate that word, too. I don't like how that's used. I know Rand Paul, Senator Paul, who's been on our show, was actually praising Trump for stepping back and not doing an immediate attack over the drone. And I do, too. I actually I praise that as well. And so I just wanted to read this to you. This was from, he's more or less a neocon, Thomas Donnelly of the American Enterprise Institute, a think tank. And also from the project of a new American century, the PNAC, which remember outlined right before 9/11, it outlined that we needed a new Pearl Harbor event to bring us into war, and that we really desired Iraq at the time to do that. So he stated previously he had a 2004 strategy paper, and it was entitled "Strategy for a Nuclear Iran." And this is what he said. The surest deterrent to American action is a functioning nuclear arsenal, a deterrent to our actions. Okay, so to be sure, the prospect of a nuclear Iran is a nightmare, but it is less a nightmare because of the high likelihood that Tehran would employ its weapons or pass them on to terrorist groups, although that is not beyond the realm of possibility, and more because of the contrasting effect it has to impose upon U.S. strategy for the greater Middle East. The danger is that Iran will extend its deterrence either directly or de facto to a variety of states and other actors throughout the region. And this would be an ironic echo of the extended deterrence thought to apply to U.S. allies during the Cold War, just like you mentioned, Uncle Milty. So he was basically echoing the same sentiment in the Project for the New American Century, the PNAC, mm-hmm. and Rebuilding America's Defenses, that famous document, a paper that's been pretty eerily prophetic, and that same paper that called for that new Pearl Harbor, and then voila, a year later, the new Pearl Harbor happened. That's convenient. And then he said, when the missiles are tipped with warheads carrying nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons, even weak regional powers have a credible deterrent regardless of the balance of conventional forces. It's kind of interesting to think of it as a deterrent to war, a promotion of peace, if you will. Kind of an interesting angle.
Yeah.
I bring it up for conversation with you, 888-673-1450. Would like you to chime in. And I, you know, we've been told so many times, oh, Iran can't get that nuke. But what would happen if they did? Would that mean that that would be a deterrent? Is that what the deep state would love to go to war with Iran? And they've been wanting this for a very long time. They've been trying to sell this for a long time. You know, the money that Obama sent over in secret, when he did that and then called it payment for 1979 that we owed them. But it was sent over in secret, right? And it was sent over in the way they wanted it, because the way they wanted it would have they wanted it in U.S. Dollars. But that actually would have gone against the law at the time, because you weren't allowed to do business. They weren't allowed to participate in our banking system. So then he says he sent it in all these different ways over there. But he did it in secret. He did not get Congress on board. It was basically kind of a treason move, if you will. And so he sends over this money, and did that aid Hezbollah? Did that aid fighters? Did that aid a lot of people that they wanted on the ground to have arms? And who knows, right?
Yeah.
That's word on the street. So what are your thoughts, Uncle Milty? What do you think?
I think that it's above my pay grade. I think the president knows so much more than what we know. Mm-hmm. That it's impossible to sit here and second guess what's going on. Mm-hmm. I believe that the president does not want war. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Or he would have taken advantage of the drone being shot down and attacked Iran like everybody said he should.
And the deep state wanted that.
Right.
They would have loved that, actually. Bolton would have loved it.
The question for me is, can the president hold them off and continue to work towards peace rather than war? Because he has to hold off. Iran is not the problem. The problem is his own deep state. That's who he has to hold off.
Yeah, yeah. They're the ones gunning for this.
So can he do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the real battle is. I don't. Whatever goes on in Iran doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's within our government. It's mm-hmm. so corrupt. Can he win that battle?
That's tough. And so you hear him say a lot, because I know even people have come to me and saying, well, he's speaking deep state speak, right? So he's turned. That could be true. It's just that for some reason, my gut doesn't say that. My gut says that that just like the precursors with North Korea, it was the same kind of thing. It was the same kind of rhetoric. It mm-hmm. was telling the deep state what they wanted to hear, but it wasn't necessarily backed up with an action. And so the action of not going after and not immediately going after this drone event, right, that was conjured up, false flag, by the deep state. They really wanted us to respond to this. And, you know, it was so interesting pouring over 2012 to 17 news, a lot with Obama, under Obama, and every 5 seconds they were touting this, fear-mongering over this in the news. And I mean, we've had a solid, solid, steady stream for about 20 years on this, by the way. And so here we are in 2019, still at this moment. And they kept saying back in 2012, and even Ron Paul was saying there's going to be a watershed moment. They're going to do something to a ship, and they're going to blame Iran. And you know, it's interesting that Japan has come out and basically said, we want more evidence from the U.S. Now, that's a new move. It is truly a new move for Japan. Usually they'd go, oh, yeah, whatever the U.S. says. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. So are tables turning? Are things going on that are sort of unpredictable right now? Could be. Yeah.
Well, for Japan to ask for more evidence,
mm-hmm.
what caused that?
Yeah.
Was that a deal between...
On the tankers, yeah.
Was that a deal between the president
mm-hmm.
and the president of Japan?
Yeah, yeah.
To keep the dogs at bay?
Who knows? Who knows? Because don't you think, common sense wise, Iran with Japan visiting the country, they're gonna go shoot, you know, a torpedo a tanker? Really? No. It doesn't make sense, right? And that's why even Japan, and that is a rare move, to tell you the truth. But I just noticed all the headlines are exactly the same that they were back to 2012, and it's just kind of interesting to me.
But it was right after a meeting with the president mm-hmm. and Shinzo
yeah.
Abe, too.
Yeah, that's what.
So.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Who would do that, you know? And that's, I think everybody was kind of left scratching their head. It was kind of an interesting false flag move, if you will. So Leon Panetta, warmonger, Secretary of Defense, in 2012, he remarked to this on Face the Nation. Are they trying to develop a nuclear weapon, talking about Iran? No, but we know that they're trying to develop a nuclear capability, and that's what concerns us. Our red line to Iran is to not develop a nuclear weapon. That's a red line for us. And so it's kind of, his words are kind of interesting. You know, Obama's real relationship with Iran, it is said that Page and Strzok, who showed up in the, investigation, obviously, mm-hmm. that's still ongoing, are Iranian agents, double agents. That's kind of an interesting premise as well.
Yeah.
Make things that make you go, and certainly the cash being sent, people think that Obama achieved peace with that. No, he didn't. That wasn't even about that, actually. It was a wink-wink agreement for the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some, you know, uranium sales and things like that. And so when you're talking about nuclear capability, you can go right to the uranium and things like that were sold. So there's obviously and definitely more going on under the seams. But I thought, you know, I think people need to grasp that possibly having a nuclear weapon could actually maybe be a long game for peace in a way that they haven't thought of before. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, there's another issue that's going on that I'm mm-hmm. not sure a lot of people are so aware of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were dependent on Middle Eastern oil,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot more tension.
Mm-hmm.
But we're independent now. We don't need any oil. Some countries still do, but we don't. So it's less likely that something can be started against us because of oil.
Yeah.
And that's so that, again, put the president in a position of a more advantageous position in dealing with this whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with nobody can say to him, well, you know, if they cut off our oil, we're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't use that on him because
right.
the president is the one that made us independent.
Right. Yeah.
And they were against that.
There's a couple of things, too. One, think about this. You've got a huge explosion at a Philadelphia oil refinery, right? Was that retaliatory? It could be. You've also got the military. Are they in favor of doing some of the things? Are they trying to say that that maybe we shouldn't do some things? Interesting take. There's a couple of things like that that have been kind of intriguing to me lately that I've been thinking about and going back and poring over the news and looking at some of the patterns, I guess, all the way going back into when Obama started in office and even to Bush, actually, really going back to the PNAC, if you will. So the PNAC agreement that was really a document that talked about this is what we're going to do over the next 20 years and nobody's going to get in the way of this war budget and we're going to create some problems in which we're going to go to war. And when I say create, I really do mean create. We've already admitted about terrorists getting monies from us and about aiding and abetting. So there are some things like that to think about, too, in the mix of this as well. And what's been going on since the Iraq War. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. And I'm glad you're listening from all over the world right now. It's encouraging. And I'd like you to be part of this conversation. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. What are your thoughts? I mean, we're all going to have a lot of varied thoughts on this. And I always, no matter what, am always checking to see if what I think is coming from propaganda, what I think is coming from correctly analyzing or trying to understand what's going on. And I'm always on a quest for that, believe it or not. Because I always know, A, I can be wrong, and B, what I'm seeing maybe isn't really what's the most important thing. And then also, sometimes, maybe we get so into the weeds and the details that we don't see the obvious. One thing I know is that Iran hasn't attacked anybody, and that we own everybody around them. So their ability to thwart off an attack at this point would be very, you know, difficult. And then people, of course, if I say that, then immediately it's this sort of retaliatory, you know, how can you trust Iran? I don't trust Iran. I don't necessarily like anything about what Iran stands for or what they're about. But I also recognize that there's a reason that we've wanted this country for so long. And that's worrisome to me. So that should be worrisome to everybody. Why do we want it so bad? And so their biggest threat right now is you can't let them near a nuke. Can't let them have the nuclear capability. Can't let them, you know. And I question that because the big looming question is, but a nuke would actually be a deterrent to war. And so could you keep the peace if there were if they matched us? And they couldn't even match us. They couldn't even come close to matching the huge budget and firepower that we have. But at the same time, with a nuclear weapon, would that actually be a deterrent to war? And would it actually bring more peace than them not having one and knowing that that we can go in and demonstrate another regime change? Tucker Carlson had Bolton on, and he basically said, geez, since you came in, you wanted these four countries, and you took two of them. That didn't work out well. And what does Bolton say about Iraq? No, it was great. It was successful. How is that? How is that successful? I'm not quite sure, except that if you're looking at it as a piece of real estate near Iran, then yeah, I guess it was a glaring success. But I think that we should analyze this a little bit more than what the media propaganda, I think, sometimes would tell us to do. Thoughts? 888-673-1450. I know that they could never, I know that, you know, even with a nuke, they would lose in a battle, but at the same time, would it be more of a deterrent than it is now? And many, many people in government have actually said this. This isn't new. So there you go.
Well, this morning, a Russian official, a senior mm-hmm. Russian official, reminded the United States and Israel by telling his counterparts that Russia would continue to support Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So Russia has made some noise today that we don't like what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either. It is interesting. I always thought that an attack on Israel would actually be blamed on Iran, but I don't know that it would actually come from Iran. But that's just my thought. Just a thought. And you can disagree if you want to. It's okay. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. You can weigh in on this. What do you think? Because I really am asking. I'm asking you. Have you really thought about this and done some homework on this? And when I looked back in the headlines, it was really rather shocking, really, to get a glimpse. So sometimes in context, it's a little better to go in context, you know, and look at our history of our headlines. They're very interesting. Not much has changed, by the way. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'd like to add a couple things to your Iran statements. Mm-hmm. You make so much sense. No matter what, they just simply don't have the economics and everything to make a super huge nuke, and it's mm-hmm. just seems to be more of an ego thing. Bolton was like, he just wants war. That's just all he's about.
Yeah.
I will also say about the monies that Obama let them have in mm-hmm. different kinds of currencies and everything like that. I'm not defending Iran, but sometime in like the late 50s or something like that, the U.S. seized millions of dollars of their monies for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that is part of that money, not a big part, but some of it.
Yeah. And so they wanted that cash, and Obama was happy to give it to them. And then of course it was said that it was for the hostages that we're never supposed to pay for. But he stated it was money that we owed them. And there are a lot of people out there that believe that we did owe them. It was interesting that Obama ponied it up, but, and on planes nonetheless, but I think just being able to analyze all this and really look at it from a fresh point of view. And I so appreciate your call. Thank you for that. Thanks. I really do. Something to think about, though. Would it be a deterrent? Is it really the worst thing that we could have happen? They are surrounded by everybody that we own. And so, you know, I'm not quite sure that they could be the big threat. But see, in all these attacks and all these things that we do, as far as with Syria and Iraq and Libya, and I could go on, it is kind of interesting how they beef up the headline to the point where this small, tiny country can do a lot to us, and we actually outpower, outman, outnumber everybody's military force 10 times over. And so just to state the obvious, I'm not quite sure that a small country could actually be that much of a threat when they have very limited arsenal. Do they have missiles? Yes. Could it make a dent? Yes. But could it really do something major? I mean, major? I don't think so. So I know. I'm probably the one in the room that doesn't doesn't agree.
No, I think most people feel like, yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah. Why are they drumming this up to such a big extent, you know? Because like I said, since 2012, the headlines haven't changed at all. That's a little concerning, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like we're gunning for him? I mean, so when you hear a tanker being hit, and the first thing we do is we're sure, you know, we are sure within 2 seconds it was Iran doing it. And it was above water, the hits. Anyway, the whole way that went down was just something that was so off and wrong about it. And I think people could witness that really quickly.
You know, but it wasn't that long ago where that attack would have caused a bombing of Iran.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah. Iran doesn't play ball with us in the banking system. And so there are reasons to take over a regime change, whatever you want to say about that. There are reasons. Mm-hmm. And so, clearly they don't play ball. But I guess the question we have to ask ourselves, too, is to what extent do we take control over the Middle East and why? And I think once you start delving into that question, the other questions are a little harder to answer, and you start to question a lot more the propaganda coming out. And I know all of you do. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. It's just trying to think of it in a different way. And I thought that this was kind of an interesting take, too. I don't know that it could actually do as much damage that we think it could do, but we surely don't want them to have any firepower whatsoever, right? So, and I do take into account that they haven't attacked anyone. So their theology means a lot to them. You know, I don't agree with that, but I agree with letting a country have their own theology and that we can't interfere in that. And so what have they actually been responsible for in attacks or not, or let's say military strikes or things that they've done or not? A full-fledged attack on another country, we haven't seen them do that. So Are they really, you know, what the press, purports them to be? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but what Trump says, mm-hmm. President Trump, he deserves the respect of the office. Mm-hmm. But I got to remind people in this state, because the people in the state are generally not supportive.
Well, any state. Yeah, we're national, so any state. So, but go ahead.
Well, this state, if you look at Mitt, he's okay. A Mormon, and he's pretty, and he has a nice family, and Mr. Kennedy was a good Mormon, too, but
well,
not pretty.
I know,
and,
but we're on the national show, so I'm not even sure that.
We are more brainwashed in this state than a lot, well, anyway.
But we're on the,
Trump.
Yeah, I get
but
it.
He hasn't hurt anybody, I don't think.
I don't know.
Probably forgotten.
I don't know.
I mean, even that big deal they made the first April in his office when he bombed Syria, an air base or something. It turned out to be an abandoned air base. I don't think one person mm-hmm. was injured.
Right, right.
So he has spoken to shut the deep, no, not shut them up, to placate them.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, let's give the guy a break. I mean, somebody's got to be telling the truth here. He has to say stuff to keep the globalists at bay,
mm-hmm.
stay alive, and managed to not hurt people because they'd raise heck with him for that. And he hasn't done, he's done a perfect job. He hasn't hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank
Remember
you.
The drones during Obama's tenure were just bombing people left and right. I mean, that never got broadcast mm-hmm. by the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Trump he deserves a lot more respect than he's getting anywhere.
Okay, yes. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. And you know, we're national, so I mean, we're talking about any state, really, not just my own state, but any state. So there have been people that have been dying, though, and so I have to contradict that a little bit. There have been people dying from bombs that shouldn't have hurt them, and so we have a lot of people over there that are in huge, look at Yemen. I mean, we're talking full-scale military fights and attacks and things like that have been ongoing. But my comment to that was always that the deep state is very huge. I mean, they're huge and they control a lot, and they've got a lot of vested interest in keeping that war machine alive. If they didn't create the need for us to be over there and involved in some of these things, then we wouldn't have the ginormous war budget going through. And it went through. quite honestly, at a higher amount than we've seen ever. So, I mean, there's two sides to this. But what I was trying to do was kind of say, well, is Trump about the long game in this? Is he seeing that kind of like what he did with North Korea, too, exposing North Korea for being the bought and sold, you know, entity that it was, that they weren't some lone ranger, that they weren't particularly on their own, that China was predicting their every move or on their every move, and we're in bed with China. But is this more of a long game? So I don't know. That's just what I was kind of putting out there was, is there a long game to peace here that goes around it rather than a straight shot? I don't know. That's the question.
I think that's kind of what the last caller was mm-hmm. saying, though, is that in everything new that's come up since the president's been the president, mm-hmm. he's avoided any major attacking mm-hmm. of other countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wouldn't go into Syria right. with a big force. He won't go into Iran with a mm-hmm. big force. His actions have always been to de-escalate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has he done a perfect job and gotten out of everywhere in 2 years? No. But his general modus operandi is to de-escalate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's fighting both sides to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how he does some of the things he does. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about that. It's funny how you're not hearing a lot about Kerry right now. It is chatter on the ground says Kerry. John Kerry's over in Iran. Who knows? Who knows if that's true? I see a lot of meddling from former people in government that seem to not know that their job ended. But if that's the case, kind of interesting chatter that he's over there working with them. Trying to do what I don't know. But why in the world? We don't hear a ton about John Kerry, but, you know, he did disappear for a while. It's been kind of interesting to watch.
There was a Democrat senator mm-hmm. the other day. I forget who it was. But he said he thinks the president should sit down with John Kerry
mm-hmm.
and listen to what... Because he put his all into the Iran agreement.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was his baby.
Right, right.
And so maybe the president needs that insight.
Yeah, his
from
baby
John
that
Kerry.
Bypassed Congress,
yeah,
that did
uh-huh.
everything in secret and in the night hours. yeah, that's exactly who I'd want talking to the president. Give me a break.
And unless he's been authorized by the president to mm-hmm. be over there, he uh-huh. shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Don't we have a law for that? Yeah, I think we do. I think we do, but for some reason, it's been A-okay for Obama and his all his henchmen to be doing their business everywhere. Interesting. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.